All right, so hymn 602, The Gifts Christ Freely Gives. I don't know. Maybe. Hopefully by now. All right, here we go. The gifts Christ freely gives, He gives to you and me. To be His church, His bride, His chosen, saved and free. Saints blessed with these rich gifts are children who proclaim that they were won by Christ and cling to His strong name. The gifts flow from the font where He calls us His own. New life He gives that makes us His and His alone. Here He forgives our sins with water and His word. The triune God Himself gives power to call Him Lord. The gifts of grace and peace from absolution flow. The pastor's words are Christ for us to trust and know. Forgiveness that we need is granted to us there. The Lord of mercy sends us forth in His blessed care. The gifts are there each day. The Holy Word is read. God's children listen, hear, receive, and they are fed. Christ fills them with Himself, bless words that give them life, restoring and refreshing them for this world's strife. The gifts are in the feast, gifts far more than we see. Beneath the bread and wine is food from Calvary. The body and the blood remove our every sin. We leave His presence in His peace renewed again. All glory to the One who lavishes such love. The triune God in love assures our life above. His means of grace for us are gifts He loves to give. All thanks and praise for His great love by which we live. All right, so real quick, that last verse, it says His means of grace for us are gifts He loves to give. What are the means of grace? Okay.
Sacrament of the altar.
Yep. Communion. Yep.
Confession.
Correct. Confession, absolution. We also call that what? More, just one word.
Repentance.
Well, that's true. Repentance starts with a W. Four letters. Word. Yes. We also call this a word. So whenever we say word and sacraments, we're talking about the means of grace. These are the sacraments, baptism and communion. So, but these are the means of grace. Baptism, communion, confession, absolution, slash the word. Because what's used in confession and absolution?
Word.
The word. Words. Specifically what word?
God's Father.
Which says?
Father.
Well, that's his name. What's he do to you?
Baptize
you? No, that's baptism.
Forgives our sins.
Forgives our sins. Right, so forgiveness of sins through the word. Okay. All right. So let's go through our catechism, or do our catechism readings. So if you're in your hymnal, turn to page 323. But if you're in your catechism, turn to page 18.
Wait, which one on?
323 in your hymnal. 18.
The Lord's Prayer.
Yep. All right, we're all there? All right, and so we'll read the Lord's Prayer now, and we'll see how we feel at the end of it and see if we'll do the read the sacrament of the altar later, okay? All right, let's start with the Lord's Prayer at the introduction, okay? We're all in the same place, the introduction. All right, our Father who art in heaven, what does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father. The first petition, Hallowed be Thy name. What does this mean? God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. How is God's name kept holy? God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as the children of God also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. The second petition, Thy kingdom come. What does this mean? The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. How does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit so that by His grace we may believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. The third petition, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when He breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let His kingdom come, and when He strengthens and keeps us firm in His word and faith until we die. This is His good and gracious will. The fourth petition, Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What is meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. The fifth petition, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. The sixth petition, and lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. The seventh petition, but deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We pray in this petition in summary that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. The conclusion. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What does this mean? This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. For he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. All right, let's stop there for now. Bookmark where you're at so you can get to it quickly later. Yes, Tatum.
Okay.
Devout. So it's someone who's like faithful, right? So a devout husband, a devout wife, devout workers. So people who are faithful to you, right? Who seek your good, right? Does that make sense? Okay. All right. All right, well, let's get started with the, what's that?
Is your microphone on?
It is. Thank you for asking. I am recording. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do the big 40 question sheet. Yeah, we can start with you. Did you find your binder?
Yes, it is on the clipboard. That I
had
with my work on it for virtual.
In my free time.
So, where is it now?
At my desk.
All right, we need to make sure and bring that to class.
Pastor, I've been working on this in my free time.
Good!
So, I'm not talking about we got a new vehicle, and Dad was getting format, and it's taking forever.
Of course, Dad taking forever in Walmart, right? Yeah, that's a good sign to get work done. All right. Well, we'll start with Chance here. Yeah, we're starting on 16.
Yeah.
All right, Chance. I'm not expecting you to notice, but we're going to give you a shot nonetheless, okay? All right. What does redemption mean?
So, redemption is like if you miss a shot and you're out of a game,
okay,
you get an extra chance to win.
Okay, so you would say, so it's kind of like you have a chance to make it right.
Yes.
Right? Yes. All right, yeah, it's your chance to make it right. So who does God redeem us from?
The devil.
Right.
And our sins. And
death. How does he redeem us from the devil and our sins?
He guides us and uses the curb.
No. I think you misheard her, but I think you were on the right track originally.
He guides us?
Nope, not guides us.
Wait. I want to say killed the devil, but he didn't.
He didn't kill him, but what did he do?
He forgave our sins.
How did
he
do?
He died on the cross.
He died on the cross. That is where Jesus redeems us. That's where he purchase us, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood.
Can you write this on the board, please?
Okay. All right. Now you're good. All right. So let's simplify this. Yeah, it is a little bit longer the way that I
have on every question.
Right. Well, because that's what I had taught you guys last year, right? So let's put what I have. So it's the payment Jesus made.
Oh, I have that.
Okay. So the payment Jesus made to purchase. To purchase our release, right? You have that?
Yeah, from sin, death, and the power of the devil.
From sin,
death,
and
the power of the devil.
And power of the devil. So if you ever want the complete answer, Olivia, do you remember, do you still have those sheets that we did last year? Okay, so that, this teaching right here is underneath the one of the lesson plans that we did with the second article of the creed.
Yeah, I found marriage.
Which we learned about, who did we learn about in the second article of the creed? Who?
Holy Spirit?
Huh?
The second article
of the creed. Nope, but you're on the right track.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, I said the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you said the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is the third article. Okay. All right. So that's what to redeem means, that Jesus purchased us, right? Purchased us from sin, death, and the devil. All right. Tatum, what is atonement?
Condemnation.
Okay, so let me ask you this now. What does that mean in your own words? What does it mean that Jesus atoned for our sins? What is atonement? You're good. So it's related to what redemption is. Okay, so to redeem, to purchase from. So atonement is like, if I did something bad to Gavin, let's say I kicked Gavin in the shin.
Oh.
Ooh, I know, right?
So
if I kicked Gavin in the shin, that I sinned against Gavin, right? Which commandment did I break?
Oh.
Well, not all of them. Well,
I know you at least broke the first one.
At least broke the first one, but also the and do not murder, right? Because I didn't help or hurt. I hurt my neighbor in his body, not helped him. Right. So hurting someone is murdering
someone.
That's what you think of, but it actually means more than just killing someone.
My word.
If I flick Gavin,
right. That's a good thing. I could have called Gavin, you know, a bad name or something like that. Right. Right. So it can be, you know, all encompassing. Right. So that's what it is to murder someone, to hurt someone, and their body or soul. Right. So. If I kicked Gavin in the shin, there's a few things that I could do to atone for my sin. Like go and get an ice pack for him to put on his shin. I could go give him an ibuprofen so it can, you know, help the pain. So what does atone mean?
So after you, Jesus would die for us.
Okay. So let me put it this way. We sin.
Yeah.
And we need to...
So we feel bad for Jesus?
No. So here's us. Okay? We have sin. It belongs to us. Okay? But Jesus takes our sin, so it's no longer ours, but it's His. Okay? So this is Jesus, right? And this is us. So yeah. Jesus now has our sin, and what does He do with it?
He takes it and He forgives it.
How? What does He do?
Because
He kills the devil.
He says, "Your sin shall be forgiven."
How?
Physically.
How are you purchased? Not with gold or silver, but with His
voice.
Word.
Forgiveness.
His body and blood.
Blood! Yes! Not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood.
He deserves peach candy.
Right? So, how did Jesus give His precious blood?
He died.
He died on the
cross.
So He takes our sin to the cross, dies for it, and atones for our sin. Okay, so He atones for our sin. Now, does anyone want to give a shot what atone means? We'll go with Allison.
Darker and lighter?
Good try. We'll go with
Chance.
Okay, that's what repentance is, but to atone for Jesus' sin, what does atone mean?
Okay, I think I got it. Okay. So Jesus takes away our sins and He died for us because He doesn't want, He feels bad for us and He doesn't want us to happen.
Okay, so he has mercy on us, He feels bad for us because He doesn't want... So whenever we talk about redemption, He's purchasing us from something. He's purchasing us from sin, death, and the devil. So to atone for our sin, what does our sin rightfully deserve?
Death.
Devil. Right? It deserves, you know, death and the devil, right? That's what it promises. And whenever Jesus goes to the cross and dies for the sin, what happens to Him?
He kills that devil.
He doesn't kill. Right, we talked about that. But He defeats him. He wins victory over the devil. Right? But He also has victory over death. Because He...
He killed the devil.
Well, he
gave us our
what? Okay, so
3 days later
He rose, right? He defeated death by rising from the dead.
Yeah,
He was dead for 3 whole days and rose from the grave. And so that, and then, well, He's still alive now.
Yeah,
but He was on earth for 41 days. That's right. So did you have a question? Wait, hold on. We'll get there. We're still talking through it, okay? So our sin deserves this, right? Everyone look at the board. Our sin deserves this, death and the devil, right? Mm-hmm. That's what our sin deserves. But by Jesus, our sin is taken away because He goes to death and the devil, but He wins victory over it. So He atones for our sin because He satisfies what sin deserves. Does that make sense?
Basically, Jesus still wants to sin, doesn't?
Jesus does not still want to sin?
Can you give your sin to Jesus?
Yes.
Then the sin
is paid for. It's done. Right? It, what sin deserves is finished. Right. So, atonement is Jesus satisfying what our sin deserves. All right, so that's the short way to put it. Jesus satisfying what our sin deserves. Well, 1 second. Let me clarify something real quick. So Jesus satisfies. How does he satisfy?
He dies on the cross.
He dies on the cross. What our sin deserve? What does our sin deserve?
Death.
And
the devil.
Right. And so Jesus satisfying what our sin deserves. It's Jesus dying on the cross to satisfy what our sin deserves, which is death. Okay?
And the devil.
And the devil. Did you have a question? Do you have a question? Question?
No.
Okay. All right. So, let's go to 18. Gavin, what is the righteousness of God?
That God offered his son in payment for our sins.
That's right. So that's what... Right, there's also the Christ's obedient sacrifice and payment for sin in his death upon the cross, whereby he fulfilled the whole will of God. So, quite simply, to simplify that, God the Father offered up his Son in payment for man's sin. So that's kind of what we're talking about here, right? Jesus atones for our sins. Jesus satisfies what our sin deserves. But the righteousness of God is God the Father giving atonement. You see that?
Yeah.
Righteousness of God is God giving atonement. God giving Jesus. Okay? All right. Blessed exchange. What is it?
Over here. Choose me.
Oh, we're on Olivia. All right,
Give me a hint.
I'll give you a hint.
I got it.
The blessed exchange is between us and Jesus.
Is it when we sin and we give it to Jesus?
Right, so we sin,
Jesus, but Jesus takes it,
right? So, we're going through it.
And Jesus takes our sin away.
So, right, so the blessed exchange is whenever Jesus takes our sin, what does Jesus have that he gives to us?
Huh?
What does Jesus have that he gives to us?
Forgiveness.
True. That's the sin part. So we have forgiveness of our sin. What do we call that? Or what does that kind of look like? You want help with these from these folks?
Look at number 18. look back to number 18. It's talking about, look at the third word.
Why don't you just say it?
Number 18.
Why don't you just
third word in number 18?
Well, it's actually the fourth.
Righteousness.
So Jesus has righteousness, right? Jesus has righteousness, and he gives it to us. Do you remember whenever we use that fancy word, imputed?
Yeah, exchanging, basically.
Yeah, so basically exchanging, right? Or trading, right? Jesus takes our sin, and Jesus gives us his righteousness. Mm-hmm. Do we give Jesus our sin?
No.
He
takes it away from us.
He takes it away from us. Is righteousness, do we take it from God?
No.
He gives it to us. Right. It's all him. He's the actor of all the verbs.
We're just receiving the stuff he gives.
And what is the most important word of worship?
Receiving.
Receiving. You got it. Receiving. All right. All right. Well, we'll give Allison the next one. What is justification? Have you heard of the term, you know, like whenever you give reasons for why you did something that was bad, and we call it you justified yourself. Yeah. So it's like if mom tells you to clean the room and you don't, and you're like, oh, well, like I had to go check on my pet dog and then I got distracted with, you know, this over here, and then I had to check the garden or something like that, right? You're justifying yourself, right? That's you trying to justify your actions to your mother, okay?
With me, it's like, oh, I forgot, I was sorry, but with me it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot, the TV distracted me. That's with me.
No, that's right. So with that example, what does justify mean?
Basically, lying gets your way.
Well, true. So your mom is, you know, accusing you for something. You didn't do what I told you. But you're trying to say, well, it's not my fault because of this, this, and this. Right? So, what's going on? Let's give you a shot.
You are finding excuses not to do it.
Okay.
So you are
the word. Here, let's give Tatum a shot. Oh, then we'll go to you, Gavin.
Okay. Tatum, actually, you can do Gavin.
All right, and I don't want you to give what you have on your sheet because I know what you have is right, but I want you to kind of just describe what to justify means.
Okay. Gavin hasn't done anything.
The legal declaration by God that sinners righteous for Jesus' sake.
Yes, okay.
Looking at a sheet.
Yeah, right, okay.
So, I don't know any other way to explain it.
Okay, so let's use the example that we just gave. So, Mom is accusing me of not cleaning my room, right? So that's the situation. So there's one of two ways this can go. I'm either guilty of what she's saying or I'm not guilty of what she's saying. Okay? So,
I'm not guilty for Jesus' sake.
Well, okay, we'll get there, right? So if I were Allison, I was like, well, I didn't clean my room because I got distracted with feeding the dogs and taking care of the garden, and I watched TV for a little bit.
She would be breaking commandments, which is a sin, but Jesus says that she's not guilty because Jesus took away those sins.
All of them.
Right.
Like those never happened.
That's right. So Jesus took away. So Jesus took away your sins. So it's like, he took away Allison's sin, my sin, your sin, because he died on the cross. But what else did he do? He lived the perfect life that you couldn't. And he gives you his life, right?
Yeah,
so, whenever God accuses us for sinning against the law, which God's law, he tells us things to do, like Ten Commandments, which we sin against all the time, right? But Jesus, we're justified for Jesus' sake, which means that we're declared innocent of God's law, of the accusations.
Jesus died and took our sins away.
And so we are
righteous.
AKA, so we're not guilty, but
we're
not guilty.
Not guilty.
Right? So you're guilty or you're not guilty. You're not guilty on the sake of Jesus because you are righteous, right? You have righteousness. Okay.
God takes our sins away, and we never look back on them, or whatever you said, whatever Gavin said. But what if like the next day, like the next morning, you're on your way to school with your mom, and she's like, so I'm gonna grab you for not doing your room. You bring that sin up again.
Okay, I think I see what you're saying. So, justification, okay? So, justification is different than, like, you know, maybe there being earthly punishment for our sins, okay? So, justification is between you and God, and God, he doesn't work in time, but he works outside of time, right? God can't be bound by time and space. So whenever God looks at you outside of time, he sees you as not guilty because you have Jesus. So you are justified right now. You are justified tomorrow. You are justified
forever.
As long as
eternal life.
As long as you have who?
Jesus.
As long as you have Jesus, you have his gifts, you have, and you're justified by grace through faith. Yes, justified by grace through faith. So if you believe in God and trust in him above all things, and whenever you believe in God and trust in him, what is faith doing? Well, Jesus forgives us, but our faith, what does our faith do? So it's like, I'm a faithful, righteous dude, and what do I want to do because of my faith? Because I believe. I recognize that I am a
sinner
and that I need
God. Forgiveness,
and I need God, and where do I go to receive forgiveness
church.
In God? Church, right? That's what faith does. And because at church, what does God give me, freely give me, that I need? Right, in the
Lord's Supper.
Right, we call that the
means
of grace. Right, so that's the importance of the song that we sing each week, right, where it talks about the means of grace and how it comes to us.
Olivia was talking about earthly punishment, so wouldn't that be acting like a Catholic from that sermon you did a couple weeks ago?
Well, God doesn't take... So, I see what you're saying. God does give us earthly punishment for our sins, but it's kind of the natural consequences of sin. Okay? So, if... let's say... if I murdered someone...
You go to prison.
I go to prison.
Yes. For like 3 years.
If I ask for forgiveness from God, will he give me forgiveness?
Yes.
Will I still be in prison?
Yes.
There you go. There's the earthly consequences of sin. Does that make sense? Okay. So there are some things that, even though God forgives us in time, or in eternity, there are consequences of our sin that on earth that still need to be born. Still need to happen, right? Just because that's what our... Lord has set forth for us. That's why he gives us government,
you know what?
And stuff like that, right?
Yeah, so murder stuff just keep going out of murder.
Exactly. It's the curb function of law.
And I don't even have to look at that.
You know the next one?
Yeah.
Alright, so faith is a human
work.
Faith in Christ is a miracle of the Holy Spirit through the
gospel.
And?
Sacrament.
Got it. Nice. So faith is not a human work. Faith in Christ is a miracle of the Holy Spirit through the gospel and sacraments. Alright, let's go to... everybody get out your lesson four.
Lesson four. Okay, I'll mark where we end.
Actually...
You didn't do it.
Actually, first, get your hymnal. Well, keep getting out your lesson four. I'll come by and collect it. And once I've collected it, open up back to the sacrament of holy baptism.
I do mine every day before I go to church.
I do mine on
Sunday.
Catechism.
You might notice.
Chance?
Question about Moses is in a different pin color. Because I lost my pen.
Do you got your...
You can't do this.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to run in line.
Okay. Yeah, write your name on it.
Was Chance here last week?
It doesn't have anything written on it.
Oh, okay.
And that's yep, I'm going to make note of that. All right.
Is my name on mine?
To me? I think so.
My name.
I know your handwriting by now. All right. All right, so get open your catechism to the sacrament of the altar, please.
Is my name on
mine? No. I got yours.
Is my name on mine? Yes.
It yeah. Yours is identifiable from a mile away.
Yeah,
I
know.
I know. All right, no. Go back to your seat. Go back to your seat.
Yeah,
go back to your seat. Go back to your seat. All right, here we go. The sacrament of holy baptism. So probably page 21.
23,
actually. So.
Here, nope. All right. Here we go. What is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word, which is that word of God. Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." What benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Which are these words and promises of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not will believe will be condemned." How can thorough water do such great things? Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water is plain water and no baptism, but with the Word of God, it is a baptism. That is, a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, "He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." This is a trustworthy saying. What does such baptizing with water indicate? Indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and dying with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Where is this written? St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Okay. Yes. You may. All right, so open up your Bibles now to Genesis chapter 1. That's
this Bible has writing on the underside of it.
That's all right. Genesis chapter 1. That's like the first page in the Bible. Here we go.
He threw a Bible at me.
It actually is the first page.
No, there's multiple.
He threw the
Bible
at me. Alright.
He threw the Bible at me too.
Alright. Alright, so this one's a little bit of a longer reading, but it's a good reading.
Who do I call first?
We'll go in a circle. We'll start with Tatum and we'll work around. Can you read verses 1 through 5?
and empty. Darkness was over the surface of good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day.
Okay. And Gavin, 6 through, why don't you go 6 through 13.
And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate the water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it also was so. God called the expanse sky, and then was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let there be land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day.
All right. And...
okay, so on like...
We'll get there. We got to read through it first. Allison.
14
through 19, please.
Okay. And God said, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in. Let them be lights in. Give light on the
expanse of the sky. Wait. I think you skipped a line.
Oh, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights. The greater light is govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
All right, and Chance 20 through 23.
And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing with which the water teams according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kinds. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in numbers and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day.
And Olivia, can you read 24 through 28?
And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind. And everything was creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
Okay, and I'll finish this out. So verse 29, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give you every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the heaven, earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. All right. Well, the Garden of Eden, not America. All right. Well, it is in, like the Middle East region. Yeah, somewhere in there. All right. What is your question?
Okay. Near the river Tigris.
We got confused.
Here.
Or on that part, now, we got confused.
Okay.
On the...
Yeah, we did too.
Yeah, and yeah, we thought it was like Genesis 1. Through 2.
Yeah. Oh.
Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7.
22 and chapter 7.
Oh, no. Sorry. So,
that's what my mom thought.
Yeah. Sorry. I apologize. That was my fault.
And so I didn't read all of that.
So what this means is so this is always chapter on this side of the colon. So this is chapter. And this is the verse. So whenever you see this is the chapter. This is the verse. And this means, like, you know, through that, right? So
chapter 1, verses 1, all the way to chapter 2, verse 7.
Correct. Correct.
It was chapter 1, verse 1. You read that
in chapter
2,
verse 7.
But
I know so, the creation. Yeah, I read it before.
So this is good to go. Or so if I wrote Genesis 1 verse 1, but then I had this, that would mean Genesis 1 verse 1, not through unto 2 verse 7, but then also 2 verse 7.
Instead of the
I'll make it clearer for you guys.
Next time you gotta make it clear.
So I think for this next time. Here. Well, this is a good example. So for this sheet, I have Genesis 2 verse 7. Through verse 25, and then I have a semicolon, 3, verse 1 through 24.
Okay, that makes sense. I see that.
You see that? Okay.
That would be chapter 2, 7 through 25.
And then also...
And then also chapter 3, 1 through 24.
Got it. Good. Okay. And you guys are familiar with this text, so it's...
I think I still did a picture.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll clarify it from now on. Yeah. You can do it.
I was confused. That's why I didn't
Saints
hear
that.
I was going to ask you for help.
First question.
Well, I've been here.
I do have a video.
Long story. All right, let's move on. All right, so who alone was in the beginning? Who was in the beginning? Chance. Okay, but who? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Where was the Father?
It was specifically the Spirit.
Where's the Father?
In heaven, making.
Well, in the text, which verse? Where's the Father?
In the first verse.
Okay, in the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? So God there is a reference to the Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's the Father. Where's the Spirit?
This verse?
Nope. Open up your Bible, dude.
I was trying to remember.
Do you see it?
No, not yet, but...
The Spirit, this Holy Spirit...
No, it was in the John chapter 2 verse 7 thing.
Okay, that's for the Son.
The Son? I thought it said Spirit.
Yeah, it is in chapter 2 verse 7.
What? The Son?
The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground.
Well, that's Adam. That's Adam. So the Spirit is...
I'm talking about the Spirit. The Spirit breathed into the man.
Okay, that... Actually, you're brilliant, but you don't know why. Because that is correct, but that's not the answer I was looking for.
But it's correct.
Because the word for breath is the same word for...
Death. Or like breathe.
Spirit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Hebrew word ruach, it can mean breath.
Oh,
I know, that's why I said you're more brilliant than you think. Well, I read Hebrew, but yes. So look at chapter. All right, let's read the first two verses. Tatum, go.
In chapter one.
Whoa, you skipped something. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. It means like empty. Like there's nothing there. And the Spirit of God was hovering where? So you have Spirit and water. What does that kind of sound like?
Holy Spirit.
It does sound like the Holy Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
Why Jesus? Okay, that's true. But where was there also some water and Jesus stuff going on, but then the Spirit was there too?
Oh, the body of blood.
Nope.
Of?
Jesus.
Yeah, the baptism of Jesus, right? At the baptism of Jesus, the what comes down from the clouds? The Spirit descends upon Jesus, right?
And God speaks to Jesus and says, "You are my son."
This is, and with you I am well pleased, right? All right, and so,
I connected the chapter 2, verse 7 to the Spirit because the Spirit connects us with God, you know. That's how I kind of...
Right.
So it would be right to where the Spirit breathes the life within us.
Right. All right.
The Spirit brings us our faith.
True. Yeah. All right, but where's Jesus in this?
In the book.
Is this Jesus the one who talks to Adam and Eve?
True, we did talk about that. But in creation itself, in this part, Tatum.
Isn't that part that we just...
Well, what does John 1 verse 1 say?
I'll read it right here.
All right, you read it for me.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
and the same was in the beginning of God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made.
Okay, stop there. Go to verse 14.
I got it.
She's got it.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And
all right, stop there. So in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. Who became flesh in the beginning of John's Gospel?
Which is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Jesus. Well, right. So Jesus is the Son, right? So Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. So if he's the Word of God and he was with God in the beginning, he was... He exactly. So God speaks, and Jesus is that Word which God speaks. So exactly. So Jesus is the Word, right? So we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit there creating in Genesis chapter 1. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to have to go over the rest of this next week.
We're already done.
Yeah, we're kind of done. No, it was supposed to be Gavin's last week, but you prayed. So, unless someone wants to volunteer, you'd like to volunteer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a really good prayer.
All right. Whoops. All right, so any prayer requests?
You keep dropping things today.
I do.
Drop the marker.
Yeah.
My mom was exposed to COVID.
Oh, really? Connie?
Bonnie.
Family of Boy Shragdale. Put that.
Who?
My great grandpa. I'm praying for the family of Boy Shragdale.
All right, one more.
The veterans. Today's veterans.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Sadly, we didn't get to do veterans.
All right, Allison, lead us in prayer, please. Just, who are you talking to?
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you keep Chance's mom, help Chance's mom get through COVID, and that you help Bonnie and her family get through Boy Shragdale dying and the veterans, because it's Veterans Day, and that we all have a good day at school through this week and through the year, and that we all drive home safely and drive everywhere safely. In the name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, she was at work today.
So we get in another one.
Hey, can I talk to you in my office real quick?
Right here.
What's that? Oh, yes. Take one of these home. Take this home. There you go. Take this home. You come in here with me.
No.
So, here, just grab a seat real quick. Is everything okay, man?
Uh-huh.